Hi, good afternoon, everyone. This is Jean Norton. Thanks so much for coming on to the call today. I just really am been looking forward to this call. There's just so much great information out there all the time. Every time I turn around, I learn something new, and I'm just really delighted to have this as a topic. And I have Janine Forum and Sue Vessel, who are experts at negotiating real estate deals that have possibly gone south or sour or whatever. And I hate to admit it, but there are so many people that are so excited and so anxious because they realize the amount of money that can be made in real estate, and they're just, you know, sometimes even foolishly, you know, give their money away and you know, in hopes of a good deal. And you know, the reality is this is a business, and this isn't, you know, this isn't fun and games, and this is not Las Vegas where, you know, you win or you lose and you walk away. And in fact, I was talking to somebody yesterday. He says, we're not talking like about $1,000 here. We're talking, you know, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars when you get into a real estate deal with somebody. And people are very emotionally attached to their money, and I can understand so, especially when you're getting into that amount. You know, I mean, I guess it's all relative. 50,000 to one person is going to be different than 50,000 to another, but it doesn't matter. That amount of money hurts. And especially if somebody feels like they've been taken, or there was a misunderstanding, or they had an agreement and, you know, the agreement didn't, you know, the project or the event didn't turn out like they had thought, and, you know, things change, seasons change, all kinds of things happen, and you know, one of the things that I didn't realize, and even though Janine and Sue and I, they've been on our calls before, on these calls before, and, you know, I know that they've been very active, and they've had a plan, and they've, you know, with their business ideas, and you know, but when I found out that they actually will sit down with everybody in a real estate deal and negotiate a deal where you can feel, I guess, somewhat complete when you finish the deal, that, you know, it's kind of a, it sounds like it, you know, kind of a tough business, but I can see where this is needed, because I've seen too many people get stuck in a deal and can't get out for whatever reason. So I will introduce first Janine Forum. Janine, how are you doing today?
Hi, Jean. Thank you for having us on the call. I'm so humbled by that introduction. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You're welcome. Well, somebody needs to do what you guys do, and you know, nobody really knows that there's somebody out there that does this, and so I'm delighted to have you guys.
Thank you, Jean.
And then we also have Sue. We're her business partner, and Sue, are you on?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Jean. Wonderful intro. I appreciate it, and I really do look forward to letting some folks know some of the tips and tricks that we use, and let them know some of the business that we actually do perform. We don't advertise it. I mean, because like everybody on the call, we also do real estate investment. So that's why we really don't advertise our business. But it's wonderful to have the opportunity to let people know that we still can help in other ways, you know. And I'm sorry to sound greedy, but it doesn't cost us the advertisement fee either. So thank you very much for this opportunity.
Oh, yeah. No, it's not a problem. You know, I've got to tell everybody, I don't charge people to be on these calls or anything. I just find them interesting, and it's just, you know, a way to kind of stay up to date and what's going on and share with everybody. And, you know, so anyway, I'm glad that you guys could come on. And we had sort of a pre-call before coming onto the call. Oh, first of all, before I get sidetracked, I want to remind everybody that a star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. And then I don't have, you know what, I don't have any field trips coming up anytime soon. But I am getting my online store in order, so if anybody wants to go check it out, I've got gnorton.com/store. So if you want to see what I've got available, it's still a work in progress, so be patient. And anyway, but so we had this little pre-call the other day, yesterday, I guess, and you know, we talked about, well, gee, how do we talk about this? How do we really explain the story? And I'll tell you, where, when I first found out about what you guys did, I think you showed an example, just an example of a successful negotiation on a property that, you know, that was in Illinois somewhere, and you know, it just that was like, oh my gosh, you know, this is a typical situation. You know, maybe the ARV isn't what you thought it was, or you know, and I guess I'm anxious to hear, you know, maybe some of your case studies, some of your, you know, some of the stories of what you've done, and you know, I've got a bunch of questions. Like, is this something you set out to do, or is it just something that you sort of stumbled into in the course of your real estate business? Or so, just tell me how you got to here, and you know, share some examples of you know, successful negotiations. I'd love to hear all about it. Janine?
Wow. First of all, I think I'll try to tackle the question, how did we get into consulting? I've actually been a consultant for a whole lot of years in real estate. I've worked with investors, and I was a realtor, and I was also a property manager for a whole lot of years. And so I lived vicariously through, you know, my investors, and so that set me up to become an investor after the market changed. So I've always been an advisor and the go-to person to help for buy and hold mostly, because that's what my forte was.
Okay.
So with that being said, when we became investors and we started hitting it really hard, we started noticing people coming to us to ask us questions, and then it just kind of evolved into we became go-to people via word of mouth. Janine and Sue have this experience. They can really help you. Here's their email address. Here's their Facebook page. You know, private message them, and that's kind of how things go. That's right. We don't need to advertise because everything we do is pretty much word of mouth. So
we stay
pretty busy.
Well, I know it was hard to schedule a time just to talk to you guys yesterday, so I know you guys are busy.
Yeah. And so, you know, with Sue, when we became business partners about 3 years ago, she's built a home. She's had rentals. She's rehabbed, and she did this while she was also working in corporate America. Myself, I've been an entrepreneur for my goodness, my entire life, to be honest with you, and I've been in some form of real estate since I was basically 16 years old, starting with cleaning houses. So, I mean, I know I've kind of built myself up from the ground up just in real estate my whole life, so that's all I know, to be honest with you. I mean, I know a lot of other things. I was a music school director for a while, but in all honesty, my heart always goes back to real estate because I love it so much. And so combined with both Sue's experience and my experience, we between us both have about 50 years of experience that we draw from. Sue is a real numbers girl. She is a data analyst like you would not believe, you know, and that's really beneficial to our companies. I am the one that goes and finds the money for deals. I'm the money girl. I find money. I put deals together, and I work on the contract side of it, and I do a lot of negotiation, and Sue works with me in negotiation as well on a different level because we pull spreadsheets apart, and Sue is, when we're negotiating, she's the one that takes all the data, puts it into her own spreadsheet based on the documentation that we get so that we can help people solve problems so they can get their money back, stuff like that. So that's kind of what we do in general, so to speak.
So it sounds like it's a good match then.
It's actually a really great match, and I, Janine has been kind enough to sit here and talk about me, and to me, it's just, I'm numbers, and I know it is a great impact, but Janine has actually she shortcut herself and not mentioning that she's worked in a law firm, a real estate law firm. So she's got experience with contracts. She's got education in business management and probate and many other things. My goodness. So she basically short-sheeted her own bed when she sat there and talked about me. And I just, I there's so much that I could say about Janine, but I don't want to take up the whole call with just a resume.
Well, it sounds like you've got a lot of good life experience to draw on. I mean, especially, you know, working in a law office and you know, seeing negotiations in progress and understanding, having a rich understanding of the real estate business. And you've probably seen your share of disputes before you even got into this side of the consulting business.
Yeah, boy, there's no question there. I've always been a people watcher. I've always liked to learn from other people's mistakes. I think that's what kept me from investing at a much younger age. And keep in mind, I'm only 29, 95. So, you know.
me too.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that, living vicariously through other people and watching make mistakes, and then after the market crashed, being in the industry at that particular time really was an eye-opening experience, and it was a transitioning experience for everybody in the whole entire world, and women in business and everybody. And so, the working in the law firms, my primary history was with a probate law firm that was real estate and probate in Denver that I worked at for 18 years. And worked with an attorney who passed away back in 2003, and he took me under his wing and taught me, and so I was able to put myself through college, raise my kids, and work the Denver market, and work with attorneys, and so yeah, I have a whole lot of background in working with lawyers and law firms, so I'm not intimidated by them. I actually love working with lawyers; they're just a hoot. And when they realize that you're not afraid of them, they really warm up to you. And I love that relationship that I can build with the attorneys when we get into a place where there could be a lawsuit or something's going on. You know, we have to settle with a client. So that's kind of where we're at.
Wow. So tell me about, you know, how you got into, you know, tell me about your first experience doing these kinds of negotiations because this is not something where people have a billboard and say, you know, real estate dispute, call me. You know.
Yeah. Well, this was a situation where this is honestly one of our most biggest success stories. We have a lot of it, but this one was a very intense one. We had a client who had a situation where there were, for one, many scenarios, but there were a few scenarios that the house was sitting on the market, couldn't be sold, and a ton of money had been poured into it. It just kind of started going south very quickly. And we had gotten called by a gap funder to help us solve the problem. And the problem was that they didn't want to take a hit any more than what they had taken. And I guess the original listing price on this particular deal was like $359,000. From my recollection, and Sue, I may be incorrect, but it was about that. And what happened was there were just some things that took place, and one thing or another, and there had been realtors that had been exchanged, and there was a lot of money that had been lent on this project for rehab and purchase and gap funding for the contractor. And the next thing we know, you know, we were told that that the property's up for sale, they can't take any more hits. You know, they're going to foreclose on the property, help, help, help.
Right, because the gap funder loses everything at that point.
Yeah, and everybody had a lien. Everyone had a lien on the property. Everybody had a mortgage lien on the property because it was a property.
Everybody except the developer, and he had money involved as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he made a few mistakes along the way. He made some bad decisions on paying a contractor before the work was done, that kind of thing, mm-hmm. you know. And, and sometimes those mistakes happen, and you learn from them and you move on. And thankfully, this gentleman is still working real estate. He didn't allow this to knock him down, and he did take a little bit of a hit. But I'll let it go back to Janine on this, because she's the one that was approached, and she can tell you how we actually helped out and helped basically minimize his loss. We didn't eliminate, but reduced his loss substantially, the developer's loss.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, when you think about what happens in a real estate deal, I mean, you know, I go out there, I get a deal, then I raise the money, and I do all the work, and, you know, no matter what happens, the people that I borrow the money from get their money back. I mean, you know, they're in a more secure position than I am, and I'm doing all the work.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Jean. I think one of the things that all of us as investors, whether we're flipping or we're buying and holding or whatever we're doing, we have to remember that the people who lend us the money are the people that we need to pay back. Those people are the ones that have invested into the opportunity. And even if we end up taking a loss, okay, we made some bad decisions or something happened in the market, whether it was our fault or not, first and foremost, we always have to remember that the people that lent the money need to be paid back. And I think if you keep
that's
that
true.
At the forefront and the best interest of all parties involved and always remember that, you can't go wrong in just about anything that you do. And with the situation that happened with us when we were called upon to do this job, there was actually, this is a really crazy story, the gap funder had pulled in about five other gap funders to fund this deal that we were not aware of until we actually started pulling the deal completely apart from the ground up. There was a hard money lender who had first lien hold of position, and then the gap funder had a lien. But what had happened was the gap funder had actually leaned an amount that actually wasn't really, it was money that was lent, but not money that was spent. And then the interest rate was really crazy, and there was some deductions that should have been taken care of. And it was just negotiation, three solid weeks, day and night, literally 6 o'clock in the morning until 5 at night. Sometimes we're on the phone for 2 hours at a time, two or three times a week in conference calls. We set up Dropbox, and we notified every party. And one of the things that we really, really, really depend upon is full disclosure and transparency when we are negotiating, because everybody, when they get into a place where they have to give something up or leave money on the table, I think it's really important that the communication remains open. And that's really difficult because people don't want to admit when something goes awry that they were the ones that might have been a little negligent in some of their duties, because it happens.
Bad things happen, and I've been there, and it's really, really hard. You don't want to have to be the one to deliver bad news. You don't want to be the one to admit that, you know, you made a mistake. I mean, nobody likes doing that, so it's got to be really hard to, you know, keep emotions in check and still kind of discuss the situations in a level-headed manner. I mean, that takes a real talent that
Oh, absolutely. And when we got involved in it, when we finally got, as a matter of fact, the gap funder was petrified of speaking with a hard money lender in the beginning, even though they had a really good relationship. And we were able to, you know, keep that line of communication open with the hard money lender, because in the end, when this problem was solved and we were actually able to sell the property, we worked very closely with the realtor. We worked with the title company. We pulled in experts to help us solve the problem, because the property ended up selling short. But it wasn't like a short sale in the sense of like losing principal. There was some principal that was lost in a little bit of a case. But when it came to the principal for what the hard money lender was losing, they did negotiate out a lot of their interest. Just so that they, as long as they got their principal back, they were okay with that. The gap funder ended up leaving about $30,000 on the table, didn't they, if I recall correctly?
Yeah.
And, you know, bottom line, short of giving away all the secrets, but I've got no issues giving away the most of the secrets. You know, the third-party consultation is what came into play, because being the third party, we were able to come in and ask the questions nobody else wanted to ask.
Yeah, at because all. It would sound accusatory, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Yes, we were actually viewed as accusatory. And that fell on us. So bottom line, the developer and the lender still walked away with a good relationship.
Well, that's good.
And our business was the one that actually, even after we came in being accusatory, the lender still came back to us and asked, can you help us with this other deal? Because we get another one that's gone south.
I define that as success.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And I mean, it was a tough road to hoe during the process, because there were times I had to shut my mouth because I'm straightforward. And I say what's on my mind, and Janine had to reel me in. There was times I had to reel Janine in, and I was the one speaking, you know. But, you know, it all works. And, you know, we were able to talk to them and, you know, actually get them to realize that nobody's going to make a ton of money. You're still going to make some money with the exception of the developer. But if you're not going to work with the developer, the property is not going to sell. So we actually had some negotiations with the realtor and reduced commission. We had negotiations with the hard money lender and basically eliminated some of the late fees and whatever. We had negotiations with the gap lender and bottom line reduced late fees and some of the interest rate. And also it was a wonderful, wonderful experience for the developer. And thankfully, as I said, he's still flipping, so he didn't walk away with a bad taste, but he did away with about a $20,000 loss on the deal, too, out of his pocket.
Yeah, that hurt. Yeah, mm-hmm. That hurts. But if you learn from it and he didn't let it slow you down and, you know, you keep pushing it, you know, then I call that success.
Exactly. And this poor developer probably would have been closer to $50,000 loss if we hadn't come into play. So.
And I can see that happening because by law, I mean, you know, you can't close on a property because you got to get the payoff amount from the hard money lender and you pay off amount from all these other lien holders. And, you know, I would rather lose 20 than 50 any day. So, I mean, if that was, you know, if I was looking at losing 50, I'd rather, you know, mitigate that kind of loss and, you know, and bring somebody like you into the deal. So that's.
Yeah, we, you know, and we have a national legal team that we have in place. So when we need legal advice on anything, when we're working with our clients, you know, the hard money lenders have their legal team, the gap lenders have their legal team, we had our legal team, the developer had his legal team, but we were able to consult and work together with everybody from a legal perspective. When I say legal perspective, we didn't give legal advice, but we all pulled in our legal teams just to be able to try to solve the problem because this property was headed to foreclosure and they knew that there was no way they were going to be able to make their money, so it was either negotiate and solve the problem and get out from underneath this and move on or go into foreclosure, and everybody would have lost at that point. There would have nobody would have walked away, and honestly, the rehabber probably would have lost his money people at that point, and he was able to save his face and you know, move forward in his business, which was a really, really awesome thing that we were able to accomplish in that particular situation.
And I think that's just awesome. I mean, and especially when the hard money lender, you know, they walked with a, you know, a good relationship, and, you know, who knows, I don't know if they've done business since, but it sounds like they're open to it, you know, and they just know what to watch for, and there's no overhanging, oh my God, you know, who's going to sue who. You know, you don't have to worry about that either. So I just think it's, you know, it's a great service that you're offering. And one of the, you know, one of the reasons, and I mean, I love my hard money lenders and I love my private lenders, but when I look at situations like, I mean, I'm seeing, you know, like some of the projects that are going on in Chicago, these are long-term projects. They, you know, they're complete guts. And, you know, these are 100-year-old homes that need, you know, everything excavated. And, you know, these things take time, and the talent pool doesn't seem to be as good you know, you would want them to be, and there are delays and more delays, and you know, I just look at that as a, you know, kind of an area you have to walk in with your eyes wide open, that, you know, it's going to take at least 6 months to do something like that. And we were talking about this a little bit yesterday about the hard money lenders that, you know, I know you pay your X number of points going into the deal and a high percentage interest rate. But if you've got a situation, and it sounds like, you know, what you guys, one of your stories was the house is finished and it just wasn't selling, or the after repair value wasn't what they thought. And, you know, when you think about it, the hard money lender is getting this outrageous percentage interest rate because they're taking on a lot of risk in the beginning. But if you've got a situation where the house is just not selling, the risk isn't all that great at that point because now you've got a livable house. So it seems to me that, I mean, you know, again, I'm on my side of the fence. I'm not on the hard money side of the fence, but it would seem to me that, you know, possibly switching out to a lower interest loan would you know, or just lower interest rates would make a lot of sense.
But, and you know, that is so true. And Jean, you know, just to let you know, when we were negotiating with a hard money lender, and they're a very well-known company around, they do national work, and we, you know, were offered other opportunities through them. One of the things that I discovered is that they're just people too, just like
yeah.
me. They have money to lend. They're licensed, you know, to lend money nationally. And they don't want to own the property any more than the bank wants to own the foreclosed property that's happening on a national level. It's just more on a smaller level. And unlike banks, these lenders are also private money lenders. They're hard money in the sense that, you know, they do take risk. They are people too. And
yeah.
And I think the one thing I have to say about Sue and I, we were able to bring that human factor in to the negotiation table, get the ego off the table and sit down and form a business relationship where, you know, get the arguments out of the way and get down to the numbers and really see what we could cut, you know, cut the bottom line so that they could all be made whole again
right.
with their principal. And so I think that was the biggest factor, is that we all have to remember that lenders are people too. And
that's true.
You know.
Yeah, one of the biggest improvements I made on my field trips was when I actually brought hard money lenders into the team to, you know, to so you can get to know hard money lenders so that you can, you know, laugh and joke with them and hear their side of the story, the way they think. And you know, I've been delighted to have hard money lenders at my field trips ever since. So I wouldn't do it again without one.
It's beautiful to realize that your hard money lender is just not that plastic card in your credit card or in your wallet.
And
you can get so much information from them when they turn you down.
Well, I want to remind everybody that if you've got a specific question, a star 6 will get you in the Q&A queue. And, you know, don't hesitate, you know, to ask questions. You've got some experts here. So I really encourage you to get involved in the call. So it sounds like you guys, you know, you have to go through that accusatory phase. Just to get down to, you know, who's doing what, and, you know, get down to the true nuggets of the deal. And, you know, and what you've got that works for you is the, I guess, the pressure of time, you know, because the more time that goes by, the worse it's going to get. So that motivates people to kind of get involved and get talking and you know, you like you said, you've got your title companies that will work at a discount, your realtors that will work at a discount. You know, I just think that's great the way you've been able to pull all that together.
Mm-hmm. You know, you brought something up that's really interesting, too, because when this negotiation started, we didn't know this in the very beginning. It didn't really happen until about a week later, till it finally hit us in the forehead. this property had had an accepted offer. And and so that was the part that just blew our minds when we got halfway into it. The title company had been waiting for some, you know, payoff amount from the offer that was made, and they wanted a payoff statement from the hard money lender and the gap lender. And ironically, they just didn't provide that. It because they were going short, and everybody was stuck in a like quicksand. They were sinking, and they wanted to give the payoff, but you know, that was just something that couldn't be. So this whole time we're negotiating for the 3 weeks, we were actually not only able to negotiate out with the hard money lenders and the gap funders and work, you know, with the title company and everybody else, we were able to work with the realtor and the title company to keep that money on the table from the FHA back loan of these buyers waiting mm-hmm. to get into the property. And we were able to save the actual buyers from having to walk away to go buy another house, which was great.
Oh, wow. Wow. So one of the things that you guys had said to me when I first was talking to you, you know, months ago about what you guys are doing and your business, and you know, one of the things that Janine said, and it just kind of hit hard, you know, I mean, you guys can listen to Janine. She's, you know, very, very, has a good command of the English language, very good with her words. And then she says to me, well, I'm going to tell you, Jean, it's not pretty. The negotiations.
No, it's not a pretty thing.
Oh, I'm sure there's a few tears that happened in there. And the other thing that you pointed out in one of my earlier discussions with you is that, you know, everybody has to be on board. Everybody has to be willing to, you know, try to work things out. And, you know, I think that's kind of important. And when I see deals that are, you know, that are stressful and, you know, maybe starting to turn, you know, sideways or whatever, you know, it's like, well, who's gonna make the decision that everybody's gonna get together and talk to you guys? You know, I mean, you've got a group of people that have invested, some people working, trying to get out of a deal, and you know, who is it that actually feels strong enough to move forward to ask for your help? And I guess what I'm wondering is, if somebody's in one of these situations, how do they get everybody on board to get your help?
Sue, I'm gonna take this. You know,
darn, I wanted to.
I know. I'm gonna pull you in because the truth is that, you know, what happens is we will usually be on a call with somebody on another matter, and typically this is exactly what happens. For example, we have an investor that we're working with in another state, okay? And she called us up because she wanted to invest some money on a deal. Come to find out, she has several investments out that have not been paid. Subsequently, that led to an investigation. And so she said, you know, she was, you know, can you help me? And on this, and because she was waiting for payback on something else, and it had been a year and a half on another deal, and then she goes, oh my gosh, come to think about it, I've got another deal that's out there. Oh no! And then so what we did was we arranged another conference call, and we put together Dropbox, and I had her help, you know, help her, and she got me all the information, got Sue and I actually all the information, and we have successfully in the last. Basically, month successfully gotten. She's gotten her money back on those two deals, and is pending one right now. She had three opportunities that hadn't paid her back, and through just some tweaking of her verbiage and the way she was going about asking for the money back and ensuring that, you know, she could get her money back, we were able to help her get her money back. And so that was just a recent event. Then it all started out with, I want to invest $50,000 on this. Could you join me on a call? Because I want to interview the rehabber to see how solid this deal is. I want to make sure that I'm doing the right thing. And that's how the whole thing got started.
So pretty
it's just
much.
A matter, mm-hmm.
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, go ahead.
Well, so it's pretty much, you know, somebody knows that you're out there, and they're in a deal, or they might be in several deals, and so they will even engage with you to say, you know, hey, can I get my rehabber on a con call with you? And you sort of discuss and explore the options and just maybe even get, like, one of the players in at a time to, you know, one at a time to actually win them over or make the decision to actually move forward with your negotiations.
Right. And in some cases, honestly, with that one phone call, there was another event that took place where it was just a phone call. I can't talk to these people. I need your help. Here's all the names of the people involved. Here are all the deeds. Can you help negotiate this with me? And it's just a matter of getting a contract out. Giving us permission to make phone calls on behalf of her and setting up a conference call and, discussing it with everybody amicably to find out, you know, what's really going on and how we can solve the problem or help move it on to where it or get it into the hands of where it needs to be. If it's pre-law, you know, a pre-lawsuit or, you know, sometimes people just need to be told this is a lawsuit. And this is what you're going to need to do to win
right.
it. And really, sometimes it just needs to have somebody else, a third party, come in and say, folks, there's nothing I can do as a real estate investment consultant. But
Janine, I know which deal you're talking about, and I'm going to bring in another one where a gentleman approached us and said his finder developer was no longer communicating with him, and the lender was going to basically foreclose.
Yeah, I hear that a lot. I get that a lot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what we did there is we tag team and reviewed the notes and the contracts and everything, and we got him a lien filed, and he got paid back with his interest. And
well,
also, you know, sometimes it needs another set of eyes to take a look at it, and your attorney may not see those set of eyes or that data. And or I mean, for us, I mean, our fees are far less than an attorney. That's the best way to put it, you know. But you know, some of the other things that we've helped folks do is getting their earnest money back, especially in the early stages, you know, when they you know, didn't even consider it. I mean, they got so emotional about the deal. And they let the inspection period go by.
Yeah.
And that's happened, and the inspection period is gone, and the deal's not going to happen because nobody's going to fund the deal. So we've taken a look at some of their documentation and given them some help with it. This is not something we do on a regular basis because it can be very time-consuming, and sometimes it can take a year or two to get that earnest money back if you have surpassed your inspection period. But sometimes just another set of eyes, and even your attorney, if you don't have a real estate attorney and you just have an attorney may not know some of the rules and regulations.
Right.
So
right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, we do have a question. But before I get to the question, I mean, we're talking about a lot of scenarios here and a lot of things that can happen, and I bet there's some people that maybe don't want to ask a question in a public setting, but is there a way that they can contact you directly, maybe after the call or this week?
We have an 800 number that's available, 888. 338-3539, 888-338-3539. That's our business line. Also, a great way to reach us, because we are on the phone a lot, is to Facebook us. Sue Vessel is Facebook, you know, Sue Vessel, S-U-E-V-E, V as in Victor, E, S as in Sam, E-L. And my Facebook is Janine Florum, J-I-N-E-A-N, Florum, dot Florum. if you want to Facebook me. I know Jean and I are friends. You can go to her site and you can find me on hers, and you can private message me. We have websites available. We have we have three websites, but there's a couple of websites that we do have. We can post an email, phone number, and Facebook information on Jean's site with Jean's permission, of course.
Of course, yeah.
That you can reach out to us, which will help you, because the website is a little bit complicated, and you guys will be sitting there, did she say F or P or S or L or, you know, oh, my goodness.
Sue and Janine are in my Facebook group. It's Jean Norton's Real Estate Contacts. If you just do a search, Jean Norton Real Estate Contacts, and get in the group, you'll be able to find them in there as well. So both of them are in there and fairly active. So we have a question. So let's get to the question. It's the 602 area code.
Hey, it's Carla. How are you all?
Oh, hi, Carla. How are you? I'm doing good.
I'm good. Thank you. I have a question about an issue that's going on in Florida. And, Jean, I don't even think you know about this, but I went into as a gap funder into a property in Florida that appeared to be a good deal and has ended up not being a good deal. And now not only is the developer not talking to part of my group, some of my group is not talking to each other, and we are beyond our balloon period. We have been paying all along, but for some reason now last month nobody wanted to pay because of this stuff going on inside the team. And it's like, you know, some people feel they've paid too much, other people feel they, you know, they haven't. And it's like we're kind of at an impasse now. And it's like nobody wants to go to foreclosure, but nobody wants to step up to the plate. So there's like two of the five people left that are really talking directly, you know, in terms of being a part of the team. Others are kind of talking to others that they trust behind the scenes. It's kind of crazy. And
well,
we obviously need to get rid of this property.
Yeah, wow. Okay, ladies, go ahead. Have at it.
Okay, first question I want to ask, is the rehab complete?
The property's been on the market for 4 months. Yes, the rehab's complete.
Okay. Is it acceptable to everybody involved?
Is it acceptable for what? I'm sorry.
Is it acceptable for everybody, including the realtor? Because the realtor is part of your team. Is it acceptable, the rehab?
The rehab is acceptable to three of the five. There's an irrigation issue that nobody wants to pay for to fix to make the front yard look nice, which the realtor says is a big problem, because it's a very nice area in Florida. It's obvious this yard is a problem. And, you know, some of us have been paying the lender so we don't get foreclosed. We can't afford to pay for the irrigation, too, also. You know, so, yes, most people think it's okay. I happen to think the rehab is okay. There's a couple who aren't happy.
Mm-hmm. And as far as the developer that's involved, did they have money in the game?
No, and the developer's kind of been shunted to the side because a lot of people don't trust her anymore.
Okay. Yeah,
the developer will have the foreclosure on her name.
Mm-hmm. But therein lies the problem. The foreclosure will go on the developer, but somebody's going to have to pay for the hard money because only one person can foreclose. And also, if the hard money lender forecloses and you guys, if you're a gap funder and if you don't come back and fight it or pay the hard money note off, you're foreclosed upon as, well, actually, I shouldn't say foreclosed, but you lose your money.
Right, we know that.
Mm-hmm. So there's a few options out there, and I'm going to let Janine jump in because she's got a lot more legal background than I do. So, Janine, why don't you jump in? I just wanted to ask kind of the base question.
Right.
Yeah, I have a couple questions. How many lenders are there involved currently, Carla?
there's four gap funders and one hard money lender and one developer with no money in the project.
Okay. Okay, hold on. All right. Did all the gap funders LLC together, or did they all lend money separately into the deal?
They all lent money separately into the deal.
Do they all have liens?
That I'm not aware of.
Okay.
Did they all have liens on the property?
Yes.
Okay.
Do they have liens?
I don't have one, so no, they don't all have liens.
Okay.
I guess I should put one on it.
Okay, all right. How much money, if you don't mind me asking, is on the table right now?
In terms of owing the hard money lender?
Yeah.
About $300,000.
What's the ARV?
Well, there's where the developer got in trouble with the team. The ARV is probably about $410,000. No.
Okay, so are you saying that the $300,000 is just the hard money?
Yep.
What's the gap?
Everybody put in $25,000. The ARV at the time of purchase was $500,000.
Okay, so we've already got $400,000 in the deal.
I know.
And then that's not counting what you guys are doing for holding right now, correct?
Correct.
Okay, so you're underwater.
Correct.
Okay.
And one of the team members thinks we should just let them foreclose and walk away.
What can we do?
Two of the developers think we ought to drastically reduce the price, take our loss, and run.
Mm-hmm. There's problems that need to obviously be solved, and it sounds like communication barriers have broken down, and there's a lot of emotional stuff involved. But if you want to contact Sinara, we'd be glad to help you on this. There could be some things that we could do. Perhaps.
Yeah, you know, it's not problem. Just let me tell you, it's not an emotional group. It's a very business-y group. It's just that people don't agree on what should be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So this could be something that we could probably help you with, and we'd be glad to discuss that further if you want to contact Sue or I.
Okay.
How long has it been on the market?
4 months.
Oh wow! So that's
in an area that can sell pretty fast. It was overpriced, and we do have one of the members who won't drop the price, although we dropped the price without asking him yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a separate joint venture agreement with everyone?
Yes.
That's good. Okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but we just got set up with the refusal to drop the price, and we just did it.
Uh-huh. Sue, I want to pull you in, and based on the numbers that you just heard, I'd like to hear what you have to say about that.
Okay, if you're talking about someone at 410, you're going to pay your realtor if they're still going to charge. I was jumping with 10%, just, you know, the full numbers out of my hiney. That means you got 369 left. Divide that by, subtract the 300 for the hard money lender, draft it down to basically $17,250 for each of the gap funders.
Correct, which is better than zero, according to many
mm-hmm.
of us.
Exactly. Exactly. But the thing is, if we can talk that realtor out of the full 6%, and you know, that's going to bump things up a little bit. And if there are any late fees or anything like that with the hard money lender, hard money lenders they will work with you. You know, might be able to work with them to basically reduce what you have to pay them as well. You know, and I'm just basing it on, you said you owe about $3,000 to the hard money lender. So I don't know what the original loan was, if there was additional, you know, expenses over and above the $300, you know.
The balloon payment just came due at $300, and they're not mm-hmm. foreclosing yet. I checked that Friday. They're not
mm-hmm.
moving real fast on that, because essentially we've been paying all along. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I know a very down and dirty conversation is going on this weekend between two of the developers who happen to be together. One is the hard-headed one, and the other says, let's just let it go, and knows that I agree, you know. And all three of us now agree to just let it go, you know, sell it, you know, price it down, get rid of it. Two people are looking at it today while I ask this question.
Mm-hmm.
Two buyers are looking at it today. So we just dropped the price, stopped dealing with the hard head, and said, try to sell it today. You know, so we'll see. We don't know if that's going to happen or not.
Exactly. And I'm just going to, here's some free advice. Just talk to the realtor and say, we're kicking the investor, the flipper, the developer, has no money involved. So their profit split is gone, period.
Right.
And if they don't realize that, you need to communicate that with them.
Yeah, they understand that. Because mm-hmm. they've been part of the conversation about dropping the price all week
mm-hmm.
long.
Mm-hmm. And then speak with the other four gap funders to say, yeah, if you guys want to walk away, I'll take your money. Or we can each take our own loss and get a good chunk of our money back.
Correct. That's
and
the idea.
Yep, and you got to have that conversation, you know?
Well, but the team has disintegrated. You see what I mean? That's why the one developer, the one lender is talking to the other lender this weekend, because the conversation has disintegrated, and really two of us are trying to hold this up, two of the four.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know I'm one of those.
It sounds like it's just right up your guys' alley. I mean, it sounds like as a gap funder, and you've got so many people involved as being gap funders, you know, in different decisions. You know, oftentimes if there's like one gap funder, you know, they may step in and take the project over, and you know, but you've got so many different people that it sounds like it's just right up Janine's alley and Steve's
mm-hmm.
alley. You know, just to kind of say, come on, let's, you know, and like Janine says, it's not pretty. It's not going to be pretty. But,
no.
You know, but you can at least walk away and minimize your losses, make the decisions, look at places where you can negotiate some savings, like what Sue was just saying. You know, you don't have to pay the realtor, you know, 6%. And you know, to be honest with you, those realtors, they want you to put in irrigation systems and diamond stud the pool. You know, that's just how they are.
Oh, correct.
Make
correct.
It sell easy. So they
yeah,
they don't
correct.
Often understand the bang for the buck. They just want it sold. And, you know, so they can get their money. So, I mean, it just sounds like it might be worth at least and advantageous for the gap funders to you know, maybe consider doing some kind of negotiation.
No,
yeah,
exactly. I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna say the beautiful thing on the deal that Janine mentioned. The realtor was saying we had to deal with what they claimed was a beaver. Believe it or not, yes, it's a beaver issue in that area, and they wanted us to go and trap beavers. Mm-hmm.
I thought I heard it all when I had the ferocious squirrel on that one house
mm-hmm.
I had, but beavers. Okay.
Yeah. Well,
that's a true story. That is a true story.
Well, the only other question that I have left, because, you know, if this disintegrates in Chicago this weekend with the two developers, you know, what concession, I know that the realtor has already conceded 1%, so that it's down to 5%, okay? What other concessions can you ask the realtors once they've already done that?
Our realtor, the realtor that we were working with in that Illinois deal conceded to 1% as well, which was really cool because it knocked $1,000 off.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, that's not where you need to go. You need to go to the deep pockets. You need to go to the hard money lender. And you need to ask. You need to stop the bleeding on that end. And
right.
And the hard money lender is who you need to make whole. And obviously, the gap funder, since they don't have liens on the property and didn't secure their money, when everybody gets paid in escrow, you're going to need to ensure that the rehabbers make sure that you get statements from everybody for all the money that's invested. And they're going to make you sign a document stating that you're willing to accept a payoff amount of X amount of dollars. But and that everybody gets paid in escrow. At this point in time when you've got this kind of conflict, you do not want to have any issues in closing. You want escrow to pay you guys directly. So it's just going to be a matter of, congenializing the relationship with the rehabbers to get through this and then talk to the deep pockets, because the deep pockets are the ones that are going to be the ones that are going to help you the most. And, and set up a conference call and get everybody's feelings out and emotions or whatever, and get everybody's opinions of what they'd like to see happen and just make it happen, even if it means a price reduction. As long as that hard money lender gets paid and everybody knows what their loss is going to be, 100% of nothing is nothing. Every gap funder on this deal can lose everything. So
right, that's what I'm trying to avoid. That's what I'm trying to avoid.
Right, and there's some other options out there, and I know the call is coming to an end here, but there's some other options out there that are going to basically motivate the hard money lender even more to help you persuade them. Is that the best way to put it? Persuade them to negotiate down a little bit on their interest rate or whatever, because just because they're charging 15% doesn't mean they won't accept 12%.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
There are some options out there.
So it sounds like it's worthy of a follow-up phone call with you guys. And the number again, Janine, what was it, 888? Go ahead.
I have their numbers.
Yeah. And 888-338-3539 is our business line.
Okay. Well, thanks, Carlos, for bringing this up. This is just kind of like, this is not an unusual situation that can happen, and I appreciate you sharing it with everybody.
No problem.
And yeah, thanks. And everybody, we are at the top of the hour, and I do have to cut it off at the top of the hour. So I want to thank you for coming. Thank you, Sue and Janine, for doing what you do and for coming on the call. I really appreciate it. So I just want you guys just to, do the best you can and move forward. And this isn't easy. I mean, this isn't easy. But when you get the payday, it's nice. And it does help.
Thank you so much for having us on your show, Jean.
Thank you, Jean. And everybody keep your chin up and just watch out for them beavers.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, guys. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.